John chapter number 4. And while you're turning there, I know that it's snowing out here today. We do have, though, our annual meeting here scheduled tonight, and I trust you'll pray about that and trust you'll be back. I've also got a message that I'm going to continue. I'm doing a little series on Sunday nights here talking about how to make amazing grace amazing again. And I trust that you'll be praying about even the messages, even this morning, our theme of up and out. I've prayed very much about having the right messages, and I believe this morning God wanted us to hear even this message here on love. And so if you have your Bibles open there, 1 John chapter number 4, would you please stand and just follow along? Just one verse I think will be sufficient to start as we look at 1 John chapter 4 and verse number 7. Notice the scripture says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God." Let's pray. Father, I pray this morning that you'd help us to even follow this command. Lord, I pray today that we would put away all other thoughts, and Lord, we would focus on love. And this command to love one another, I pray this morning, would be realized in a renewed way. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Well, the month of February is a month that is usually associated with the topic of love. Because of course, this week, Valentine's Day, and don't forget about that. To the fact that this month is said to be the American Heart Association month, and a month that we focus on even the heart. I don't know if you know this, but today itself, on February the 10th, is known as World Marriage Day, and there's an emphasis even on marriage. I think that's a good emphasis as well. But for whatever reason, we love the month of February, the shortest of months. You know, I had to somehow find some kind of silver lining here this morning, since we've been having a lot of snow and a lot of cold, and it just seems like, in fact, I think I want to get a recount on that groundhog and his prediction. I don't know if it was true or not, but we seem to have this pattern of snow and cold, and so I tried to find some silver lining, and I found it in the fact that the days are getting longer and the nights are getting shorter. You realize that since we've experienced the winter solstice on December the 21st, we have added some 2 hours and 49 minutes of daylight. I had to find one thing to rejoice about here this morning. I tell you what, it was hard on the way in with all of the snow and the blowing and shoveling the driveway over and over again. But you know, February is a month that we think about love. Concerning the book of 1 John, I don't know if you know this, but there's a thought that many Bible teachers have concerning John and concerning the books that John wrote. And the thought is this: it is said that there was actually a little community that actually formed around this man, John, the oldest of the apostles, the one that survived the longest, some 60 years. This is written some 60 years after the crucifixion, and yet John is still going. Love, it still abides. You know, John was known as the apostle of love. What a great story is John. You realize the transforming of love in his life. John didn't start out as being this loving character. In fact, we know about John that John and his brother, they were known as more like wild guys. They were called Boanerges, the sons of thunder. And I mean, if there was anybody, even one time, that kind of comes out in the story where he and his brother, they request that they be able to play with fire from heaven and call down fire on a Samaritan village. Here was a man who was transformed by love. He is known as the apostle of love. You find even in his writings that word love is the favorite word. You think about the books that he wrote, John, and 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. What verse comes to your mind whenever you think about the Gospel of John? It's probably the most famous verse in the entire Bible, John 3:16, which says, "For God so loved the world." That there's so much about love that is found in the writings of John. So we should not be surprised that here he's writing to a community. We happen to think that somewhere around Ephesus that there was a group of individuals, believers, who believed that John would be a good man for a pastor, maybe even pastoring them. And his emphasis, his main message he preached over and over again, was this message that ye love one another. Now, you would think, by the way, that if a church actually practiced this, that this church would have sort of like a utopia. They would somehow achieve almost a paradise on earth. But I'm here to tell you that that actually did not take place. John preached about love. But even if you read the writings here, you'll notice in 1 John chapter 2 that they had trouble. And John even writes about an antichrist, a spirit of antichrist, the opposite of Christ in his message. There were those who preached a different message, and many of those, they basically split the church. There were many isms and schisms, and John even writes in John chapter 2, verse 19, he said, they went out from us, but they were not of us. You know, even in a church that emphasizes love, sometimes you have some fights. Sometimes you have some division. Sometimes you have some problems, some disagreements, and that happened with John. But that's why he just kept coming back, and he kept on saying, listen, I'll tell you what we need to do. We need to love more, and we need to love one another. You know, everybody here has a basic desire to be loved, unless you're some hermit that you'd want to be by yourself and you wish you could be just on a deserted island and just simply living without any solace, any comfort, any companionship. Unless that's you, everybody here wants to be loved. But you know, there's a basic formula that has to be applied. And that is that you have to give love before you get love. You have to give in order to get. The law of sowing and reaping applies even to love. Because in order for us to have love received, we have to first of all give love. You know, I thought about this illustration out in western Nevada. There's the Amargosa Desert, a place near the Death Valley, in which case there was a found many, many years ago a letter. The letter that was found in a baking powder can wired to a pump. And on that pump in this can were some interesting instructions. The letter in the middle of this desert by this pump, this well, said this: this pump is all right as of June 1932. I put a new sucker washer into it, and it ought to last 5 years, but the washer dries out, and so the pump is going to have to be primed. So under the white rock, I buried a bottle of water out of the sun, and it is cork end up. There's enough water in it to prime the pump, but not if you drink the water first. Pour out about 1/4 and let her soak to wet the leather, then pour in the rest medium fast, and then pump like crazy. Now you'll get water. Sure enough, the wells never run dry. Have faith. When you get watered up, fill the bottle and put it back like you found it for the next feller. Signed, Desert Pete. You know, that's an interesting letter, but it illustrates an interesting dilemma. And that is, if you were a weary traveler that had been traveling across that particular desert and you came across that letter and you saw under a rock, you saw a bottle of water, you have a choice to make. You can either drink the water or you can prime the pump. If you drink the water, you're not going to get water from the well. But if you give the water to the pump, then you will get water. You know, what a great illustration that is also true with life and with love. That if we are going to have love and love around us, then we are also going to have to be givers of love. And we're going to have to love one another. And God knows that. You know, the human nature is very selfish. I don't have to prove that to you. You all know. For instance, you know, our eyes, for instance, we go to a buffet, we go to some place where we pay a certain fee, and what happens is this: you pay a fee to have a buffet of food, and you go into that place. What happens is this: you probably will take more than you need. That's how they're set up. They're basically set up for you to fill your plate more. We take 3-4 plates of food back, and we go back for more dessert, and it's geared that way. Why? Because the human nature is to want to oversupply ourselves, to get more, to take more. You that are parents, you know this with your children. That when you raise children, you don't have to teach them to be selfish. They do that very naturally. You know, when you start giving them toys, do they start giving away their toys? Do they start sharing their toys? Do they start saying, listen, I want to have Johnny here have this toy, and I want Susie to have this toy, and I want to share my toys? Do they do that, or do they say, mine? No, they're more selfish. By the way, if truth were told, they aren't too far different from mom and dad. That we're all that way. Now, the point is this, that basically when you think about this commandment of love one another, it goes against our human nature. Therefore, John, in describing this, and John, a man who had been tamed by love, he writes and says there are six reasons why you and I need to love one another. You need to give in order to get. Why is that? I want you to understand and notice in 1 John chapter 4 the six reasons, because John first of all says the reason that we should love one another is number one, because God is love. Notice in verse number 7, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. It is the character of God. It is who he is. God is love. You know, I can't tell you how many times that I've had an individual come and they've excused away their behavior and they've said something like this, Pastor, I'm just a mean person. That's just who I am. Pastor, I just can't help it. I just get mad and, you know, people are going to have to just get over that. I blow up once in a while, but it'll blow up and it's all done. And, you know, I just can't help it. I just get, you know, so frustrated I have to just explode. And I'm here to tell you that we cannot use that as an excuse. You see, we have a wrong understanding of what love is. Many people here today, that they basically have watched the movies and they have read the books, the romance novels, and we've come across with this idea that love is just simply some warm feeling. That we just simply have some warm feeling and all of a sudden we have experienced and we are giving out love. No, that's not what love is at all. Actually, if you go to the Bible, you'll find that love is an action against self. It is actually resisting the natural carnal desires. It is going against self and becoming selfless. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 13 and verse number 10 that love worketh no ill toward his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. By the way, this applies to marriage. If you're going to have a marriage that works, then you're going to have to go against self. Selfishness in marriage ruins the relationship. But what you have to do is you have to lay aside your desires. You have to lay aside sometimes your wants and your desires. You have to lay aside your expectations, your agenda, and you have to do what's best for the marriage, what's best for the family. You know, it's true not only in marriage, but this is also true with children. You know, I would submit to you that if you want to raise some children that are going to turn out bad, then just simply let them be filled with self and just spoil them and just give them everything they want. Never deny them. That's a surefire way in order to raise some spoiled brats. But I tell you what, you want to raise some boys and girls that bring pleasure to God, then you train them to resist self, to go against selfishness, and to do unto others what they would have done unto them. Train them to go outside of self and to do things for others. The reason that we, first of all, should make sure that we love one another, John says, is because God is love. But secondly, the reason that he gives why we should love one another is because God loved us. Notice in verse number 9, it says, and this was manifested, the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him here in his love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. I've told this story many times, but it's worth telling again about Abraham Lincoln before he became president. He was against slavery from the onset. And one day he visited, it is said, a slave auction, a place where they auctioned off individuals and sold them into slavery. And he was so against it. But one day he showed up at the auction and he saw a young lady that was being auctioned off. And that young lady, all of a sudden, Abraham Lincoln began raising his hand and outbidding the others until finally his hand was the last one raised and sold to Abraham Lincoln. And he bought a young lady in a slave auction. He walked up to her afterwards and he said, young lady, he said, you're free to go. She said, what are you talking about? She said, you mean free? That you mean free to say whatever I want to say? He said, yeah, you can say whatever you want to say. He said, you mean free in order, in other words, you mean that I can go wherever I want to go? I can do whatever I want to do? And he said, yes, you're free to go. I bought you to free you. I didn't buy you to become a slave. And after all of that, she looked at this man that she had never met before, and with love in her eyes, she said, then I will choose to go with you. You see, there's nothing more inspiring than receiving love. And the Bible says, beloved, if you really want to understand why you and I ought to love one another, it is not that we love God, but that He loved us. Because we are the recipients of love. Listen, if you're here this morning, you've been saved. You received the greatest love story ever. God loved you and God sent His Son to die for you. Now listen, we didn't start it, we didn't initiate it, but since God started it, let's finish it. And let's continue it. And that's why we need to realize that this thing of love is not something that originates with us, but originates in the heart of God. Therefore, we ought to love one another. You think about several verses that talk about the great love of God. Ephesians 3, for instance, verse number 19 says, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with the fullness of God. And then the very next verse says this in verse number 20. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Folks, you and I, we have been spoiled with His love. We have been pampered with His love. You know, growing up in New Ulm, I can remember I had a friend. And I was very appreciative of this friend because this friend, his dad was the president of the bank in town. And in New Ulm, that was something. And this particular friend, many times because I was his friend, he invited me to all sorts of activities. I can remember his family, they would go in the summertime. They'd go to a very nice cabin. And they would go and they would have a summer vacation. And they'd have a boat and they'd have water skiing and they'd go out fishing. And it was a very nice activity. And because I was friends with Steve, then Steve's family said, hey, why don't you invite Dave? And Dave can be your guest and he can come with us to this camp. This lodge. And so we went every summer. I can remember many other times that he invited me and took me to places that I would not have been able to go to, had not been able to afford. And yet because of my friend, I was able to enjoy some extra things, some things that were luxurious. Listen, you and I, it's because of Jesus Christ that we have been pampered, we have been spoiled. And God says, listen, not just simply above, not just simply what you think, but far above what you ask or think, that's what I'm willing to do. Listen, you and I have been loved. But not only should we love one another because God is love, and not only because God loved us, but third, because this is the way that we will show God's love to the world. Notice in verse number 12, no man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and His love, notice, is perfected in us. Now here's the truth, we cannot see God. We cannot prove from a physical eye standpoint God's existence, but I'll tell you how we witness and we tell others about love is we let them see His love through our actions. It's through our actions. And I'm not saying that we should not be witnesses in word, but I'm saying that, listen, it sure does help if we are loving one another. That gives the backbone in order for us, our witness, to be counted as worthy of something that somebody would want to believe. It's important that you and I, that we have a loving testimony, that we love one another. You know, I think about the example of a lady that I read about many, many years ago. Her name was Nijole Sadunaitė. She was a Lithuanian who was put in prison. This is during the height of the Soviet Union. She was put in prison because in 1974 she had basically written up some articles basically protesting the regime there, and she had talked about some of the persecution of believers there in the Soviet Union. They put her in prison. They shipped her off to Siberia. She was in a gulag. In fact, she ended up writing a book called Radiance in the Gulag. And it was there that her story became known outside in the West. And it was there that Najol became very famous, as many Christians here in the West heard about her plight, and so they would send her packages. And they wanted to share some love to this woman who had pointed out the persecution of Christians in the Soviet Union. And so here's this woman, and in exile, that they would actually work the prisoners, and they paid them what was the equivalent of a starvation wage, some 75 rubles a month. That's all they paid them. They worked all day, all week long, and then they pay them this 75 rubles, and out of that 75 rubles, they had to pay rent, 20 rubles a month, which left just 55 rubles. Now, every time that Najol received a package, the guards refused to give her her packages received from the West unless she paid them basically a scaled wage of some 45 rubles every single time. That was basically her month's spending money. That was basically the leftover what she had. And yet every single time, every time she received a package, she would reach in and she would pull out the money and she would pay the guards in order to receive the package. But that's not all. Because what she then did was unthinkable. She then would open up the package. She would then close it back up, repackage it. And she would put an address on there, and she would ship whatever she received to somebody else that was in prison. She kept a list of folks who were hurting, some folks who were incarcerated, some folks who were being persecuted like her. But she didn't keep a single package for herself, but she passed it on. And it was such a testimony. In fact, that there's a group of communist girls that heard about this. They came and they talked to her and they said, Najol, listen, that's an amazing thing that you are doing. Listen, if we ever got put in prison, would you ever do that for us? And she said, yes, as long as I knew what your address was, I would send you a package. So selfless, so unusual. But I'm here to tell you that with those girls and with several others, it offered her an opportunity to witness and tell folks about Jesus Christ. You know, maybe in this hardened world, what we need to do to break the ice is just simply show a little bit of love. Have a little bit of love. Have some love for each other and be a little bit selfless and not think about ourselves, not trying to be self-preserving, but love one another. That's what Najol did. You know, a Christ-like love stands out like a bright light in a darkened world. You and I need to love one another because it opens up a witness. But fourth, we ought to love one another, John says, because we understand and experience God's love. Notice in verse number 13, he says, hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in him dwelleth in God, and God in him. You know, what John is actually writing about is so much the same as what was written in the Gospel of John, that the night before Jesus Christ was betrayed, he had the disciples together, and there in the upper room, there at the Last Supper, he talked to them about abiding in him. And the concept of abiding in Christ is so important that you and I understand. Basically, it means three things. First of all, it means we need to be connected to him. We need to be connected to him. The disconnected cords offer no power. And you and I, if we are not connected to Christ, we may have a name recognition, we may say that we know Christ, but if we are not abiding in him, we are not connected to him. Listen, and that's very important in today's society. Technology, you know, is all about having connections. Are you connected to Christ? Secondly, it means that we must depend upon him, not go alone, not rely upon, our own provisions, our own lifestyle. You know, I'm very concerned today because it seems in this day and age of individuality that we are ending up with a dichotomy of Christianity that is separate from Christ. You know, we put in our little bit of time on a Sunday and then we forget about Christ the rest of this week. We may, you know, hear a Bible message, but then the rest of the week it's, you know, the message of the world. We turn on the television, we put on our computers, and we look at all of the videos and everything. There's nothing about Christ. We don't depend upon Him. We rely on ourselves, our good old American hardworking productivity, but not one single time do we say, Lord, I need You. I'm concerned about that. I'm concerned. Listen, if you understand abiding in Christ, Jesus even said it well there in the Gospel of John. He said, without Me, ye can do nothing. It means we must depend upon Him. But then thirdly, it also means we must continue with Him. Abiding infers continuance. It means to remain, to stay, to abide. It means to live permanently. There's this problem we have today, in which case it's on, off. It ought to be on all the time. Abide in Christ. John says this. He says, listen, the reason that you ought to love one another is because you're abiding. Hopefully that's the case. And by the way, that is the desire that I want to encourage you to make this something that is real in your life. And maybe the reason why we see so many that are turning away from Christianity, so many that are turning away from church and the things of the Word of God, is because they're not seeing any connected Christians. You and I, we need to abide in Christ. Fifth, he says the reason you ought to love one another is because this then gives us some confidence. Notice in verse number 17, herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as He is, so are we in this world. Notice this verse, verse number 18, there's no fear in love. But perfect love casteth out fear. Because fear hath torment, he that feareth is not made perfect in love. Notice that phrase there, perfect love. What is that? I believe that perfect love is perfected love. It is love that is literally practiced. You all know if you've gone and maybe in years past, maybe you've learned how to play an instrument or maybe learned how to play a sport. The phrase that is oftentimes used is what? Practice makes perfect. You see, the more that you practice, take for instance a piano, very illustrative. You know, a young person that begins to take piano lessons, they will never develop if they do not practice. Let me ask you a question. What have you been practicing with love? Has love just simply been a concept, or is love? And listen, the problem with us is we don't practice enough. We don't practice enough. We just simply expect, well, listen, you know, if I were to pin you down on the last time that you gave, the last time that you sacrificed, the last time you thought about, maybe even encouraged by way of note or a text or, you know, email, some way, somehow, some other person, when was the last time you prayed for an individual and a specific need? When was the last time you loved? Could you say, Pastor Claire, I can rattle off several already today. Or would you have to kind of go back in your background and back in your history and think, you know what, I think it was probably about 10 years ago. See, the problem with us is we're not continually practicing love. And again, John is dealing with a community. The only way, it's sort of like riding a bike, the only way that you're going to actually make progress with the bike is you're going to have to keep pedaling. You stop pedaling, you're going to fall over. Keep on pedaling, you make progress. You see, this gives us confidence when we continue to love one another and not just simply make it, well, listen, you know, when I was first saved, boy, I tell you what, I was all excited and I did this and I did that. Have you continued? Perfect love casteth out fear. Perfect love, perfected love, practiced love, love that is continued and practiced. That's what you and I need to do. But then there's one final thought. Because John concludes with one final reason. The end result of all of this, we should love one another. Number six, because we love God. It's amazing he waits until the end, but it's so important that we do this because we love God. Verse number 19, we love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God and hateth his brother, he's a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. You know, it's a simple, logical conclusion. We cannot say that we love God and not love who God loves, which is everybody. We can't say, well, listen, I love God, but I don't like that person there. I hate that person there. God, John says that doesn't make sense. He said, you're a liar. You're not truthful. That doesn't make sense. That is not correct. If you love God, love everybody that God loves. I close with this illustration. Story is told about a little boy named Chad. Chad was shy and quiet, and he was in a class in which he was very introvertish, and yet it was Valentine's Day. And Valentine's Day got him excited because within the heart of this little boy was a desire to love his classmates. And he said, Mom, he said, can I do something special this year? He said, I'd like to make some kind of a special Valentine and Valentine's gift for everybody in my class. And his mom was a little bit reluctant, knowing that here was her shy son. But she said, Chad, if you want to do it, I'll help you. And so she went to the store and she got the construction paper. She got the crayons and the markers, and she got some glue, and she got, of course, a lot of candy, and all of that for him to make some cards and to have with the cards some gifts, some candy, and some things in which for him to express his love to everybody in his class and to do it personally, to spend some time. And this was weeks that she helped Chad prepare for that special day. Finally, the day came. It was Valentine's Day. And he had made some 30 Valentines, special, individual, with all of his heart, with all of his being, selflessly. He had made all of these Valentines. And then she watched as he went out the door and as he walked behind a group of his classmates. He was always behind. Never in the group. He always walked alone. And sure enough, as she saw him walking alone behind everybody else, she decided, I better brace. Because I know, as sure as I'm here, that my little Chad is going to be disappointed, because I just expect that it's not going to go well. And so she decided to treat him with some freshly baked chocolate chip cookies and a big glass of milk. And she decided, when he comes home, I'll soften the blow. And so she made the cookies, and sure enough, timed it right. The cookies are made, the glass of milk is there, and his little Chad came home. She saw him. And sure enough, the same way that he left is the way that he's coming home. Big group of kids, his classmates, they're all in front. And there's Chad just straggling behind. Not with them, not included. He walked in the door, and he hung his head. And she thought, oh no, probably disappointed in their reaction. And little Chad said, not a one, not a one. And her heart sank. But then little Chad finished his statement. I didn't miss a one. I didn't miss a single classmate. Not a one, not a one. And the biggest smile you can imagine came across his face. You know what that is? That's God's love. That's the love of God. You see, that's the love that it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what the others do to me. What matters is that I have given love as I have received love. Listen, you and I, what we need to do is we need to be givers of love. Because I'm here to tell you that if you'll give some love, you'll also get some love along the way. Most of all, you give love to one another, and I guarantee you that God is going to just smother you with love. Let's love one another. Six reasons why we should love each other. You know, I thought about just simply some practical ways. I'm going to suggest two things just as I finish here. One of which is, the Lord's laid it on my heart. We haven't had a food closet. We used to have a food closet because we used to have a lot more bus families and families in needs from our community. But we have not had a food closet open for a long, long time. I'll tell you what, let's do this. And I thought about this and I prayed about this. The month of March, I want us every single week to gather some extra non-perishable food. And we're going to have a table set up out in the foyer. And we're going to try and stock the community food closet with food from folks from First Baptist Church. You know, that's something that we can do. Again, as you think about it, just let's do that. We haven't done that before. We've usually just simply collected it. It's been hidden in a place that we no longer use for our food closet. But let's everybody give. Let's think about loving one another. You know, I thought about a second way that we can maybe do this. And I hope you're not embarrassed, Kiki, when I mention this morning. But we have so many folks that are hurting and so many folks that are going through challenges. And I've been praying for Kiki and praying especially for her. She begins a journey by faith tomorrow. And as she receives her first chemotherapy. You know, Kiki, I want to suggest to the church family, I love you. I love your family. This was suggested to me. This wasn't even my idea, but I thought it was a good idea. Maybe in a small way we can encourage you by taking care of the lunches for your kids for the rest of this year. And I want to just simply let you know that Valerie and I will take this next week. And whatever the cost of the lunches are, we'll provide lunches for your kids. You know, maybe some of us, we can do something like that. Or maybe just even send her a card. Gloria, send her a card. Other folks, Char, send her a card. Some of our individuals that have been going through struggles every single day. But I want to take care of your kids and their lunches. And that's just simply a way that we can love one of our own. And by the way, there's so many other ways we could practice love. You see somebody that has something you can give and meet a need, then let's learn to love one another. Father, I pray that you'd use this message this morning. As Lord, I desire for our church to have that up and out relationship. Lord, we love you and we want to love you more. But Lord, we want to love out. We want to love man. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to even heed the words of John this morning. As here the apostle of love exhibited love in a special way. Lord, help us to remember to love one another. We have the opportunity each and every day, each and every week, in our little community, to love each other. And I pray that First Baptist Church would be a church with a heart. Help us, Lord, to love one another as you told us to. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Christians are praying. Have you been practicing love? Have you been putting it into practice? Again, practice makes perfect. When was the last time you loved somebody else? When was the last time that you did something special? It might even be, you know, at a place of eating, or maybe even in a drive-thru, paying for the person behind you, maybe picking up a tab, a bill, sending a card. It's Valentine's Day. Maybe there's somebody extra you can send a Valentine to. Little Chad did his whole class. Let's love one another. So many ways we can put this into practice. In just a moment, the instruments are going to play. If God is speaking to your heart, maybe God would even prompt you to even be thinking about something specific that you can do. If so, we encourage you to commit. And just simply, let's think of ways that we can love one another. Let's all stand. The instruments are going to play. You step out and come as God is speaking to your heart.